think we're on. I want to say, we want to welcome everyone here this morning and just continue to ask you to lift up in prayer Lil Burns' daughter-in-law, Danielle. Danielle's, we prayed about her a few weeks back. She had a blood clot that they had to try to, they were going to try to use medication, and it didn't work. So she's going to have to go into surgery tomorrow. So if you would join me in prayer for Danielle. Also, I want to welcome all of you here. It's a Thanksgiving to be here for us, to have all of you in our lives. So we just really want to say how thankful we are for our church family and all of you as you are a part of our lives. And we love you, and we're glad you're here. Let's pray. Father God, as we come before you and we think about all the things to be thankful for, it's certainly a church family. You've given us a body to belong to. You've given us a Savior to believe in and to trust and to hope in for all of eternity. And so, God, we thank you. And, Lord, as we grow as a body, never let us lose that sense of family, that we love each other, that we care about one another, that we try to help one another when we're when somebody's down. We especially think of Lil Burns. We pray for her. We pray for her daughter-in-law, Danielle, and just pray that the surgery is successful in removing the blood clot. We especially want to say thank you for helping Frank Galizia get home in recovery, and just pray for continued strength in his legs. We lift up Diane Berquist and just pray for her back, that you would strengthen her back, Lord, and her legs, and so that she could walk and be here with us. We thank you for Vida and Ralph and how they take care of one another, and we just thank you, Lord, for the blessing of their families. We pray that you would help all of us, Lord, help one another. We thank you for all the visitations that were made by hands and feet, by people here that minister to one another throughout this month. We pray, Lord, for your continued blessings on our services as we think about the virgin birth. We think of Jesus coming to the earth. We think of him becoming a man and being fully God and fully human as he jam-packed himself into the body of a human being. We thank you, Lord, for all the good things that you've provided. We pray and continue for continued blessings on our church family. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to do a couple things. Inside you, there's lots of information, but inside there's a pink sheet, and it talks about the Advent, and Marge will have that in there every week as we think about Advent. It talks about the prophecy candle that reminds us of the prophets who expected and predicted the coming of the Messiah who would bring peace, love, and salvation to the world, and also predicted his return. So we're thankful for that, and on the back there's a sermon guide in there. On the inside, there's a communication card, and that's for anyone that's new to us, or if you have prayer requests, or if you want to be a part of our prayer ministry. We have an ePartners prayer ministry that someone asked me about this week, and I thought it'd be good to remind everyone that on this sheet, if you mark that you would like to be a part of it, just give us your name and your email, and there's about 40 people that are on that ePartners list. When there's something that happens that somebody calls into the church, we try to get that information out to everybody and ask everybody to join us in prayer for those people or those persons. And outside on the little stand out there, there's a card that says Christmas Celebration. I don't think this is in your bulletin. I don't remember whether it was in the bulletin or not because I grabbed one. But it's for inviting your friends and family and your neighbors to out to all the Christmas events going on. One of these things that would be really nice for Parents' Night Out is on Saturday, December 10th, there's a Parents' Night Out, and it's for 4 hours from 5 to 9. So for those of you that have kids or that you have family with kids, it's a wonderful opportunity. You've got friends with kids. It's a wonderful opportunity to allow them to have some time to go out, and they can sign up in the narthex out there on December. You need to sign up by December 3rd, so you don't have a lot of time. So we invite you to do all those things. So as we come to our sermon, I want to kind of introduce our series. Our series is called The Birth of a King. And I want you to know that we're going to be talking about Jesus for the next 4 weeks. We're going to go away from Corinthians. And this first sermon is about Emmanuel. And Emmanuel, the sermon about Emmanuel is important because It means God with us. And today, as we think about God being with us, it is so comforting to know that 700 years prior to Jesus' birth, Jesus was predicted to come. And I've always been enthralled with that and very excited about that. So I'd hope that you would be excited about that. But I want to talk to you about, there's five things that I really want to talk to you about is a prophecy, the promise of God, the person of Christ, the passion of our Savior, and then I'm going to give you a challenge, and it's called a POP strategy, P-O-P. So remember that, and it's called, it stands for a person of peace. If you remember in Luke 10, Jesus talked about sending the 72 messengers out, and he said that he would look for a family in the city who would welcome them and welcome them into their home, and that you were to give them your peace and to bless them with your peace, and that you would look for these people called persons of peace. And this Christmas, I want to challenge you to look for those persons of peace in your life this month, especially this month as you get out into the highways and byways and get all that shopping done. So think about that as you're listening. We want to talk about peace. Let's first talk about the prophecy. Silent night, holy night. It's important for us to think about the prophecy, but we sing about it every year. Let's move to the first slide. It's called Silent Night, Holy Night. All is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin, mother and child. And one of the many favorites that we sing each Christmas is this song. And as we sing and profess our belief in the virgin birth of Jesus as a part of the Christmas story. But I got a question for you. Is the virgin birth optional? Is it optional? Can you have faith in Christ without believing in the virgin birth? Believe it or not, there's some people who try to say all kinds of things of why you could do that. It's an option. But really, it's not, and I'm going to talk to you about that. The virgin birth is always under attack. Nicholas Kristof, in an article entitled Believe It or Not, in the New York Times, stated, "The faith in the virgin birth reflects American Christianity is becoming less intellectual and more mystical over time." And so we can be seen as kind of less intellectual and more mystical in our belief system. But I wanted to suggest to you that the virgin birth is not about not being intellectual. God says, come and reason with me in Isaiah in chapter 1. He says, come and reason with me. In his masterful work, The Person of Christ, Donald MacLeod writes, "The virgin birth is posted on guard at the door of the mystery of Christmas. And none of us must think of or hurry past it. It stands on the threshold of the New Testament, blatantly supernatural." I like how he says that. Blatantly supernatural. Defying our rationalism. Informing us that all that follows belongs to the same order as itself. And that if we find it offensive, there's no point in proceeding further. What he means by that is that it's crucial. It is, without the virgin birth, there is no God with us. There is no fully God and fully man. That Jesus Christ had to be born of a virgin. Why? Because the Word of God said, and if you pull on that strand, like in a garment, on a sweater, you've got a sweater there. I don't know about you guys, but if you get a run, you get a little string and you just pull it, it pulls the entire thing all the way up to the top of the sweater and it ruins the sweater. Let me just say this. If you pull this thread, there is no more garment. There is no fully God and fully man. It's crucial to the Word of God because the Word of God is truth, right? And it would make it into a lie because the Bible says in Matthew that Jesus was born of a virgin. Let's look at Matthew chapter 1, if you would. Turn over there in Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. In verse 22, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 1 that all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. It's important for us to understand that the Bible is referring back to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. I could have you go back there and look at it, but that's what it says in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. 730 plus years prior to Jesus' birth. That's astounding. Now, what I want you to see in this passage, just in this passage alone, in this verse, it says all this took place. All of what took place? Well, all you have to do is read up above it in verse, starting around verse 18 or 19, it says, now the birth of Jesus, it's verse 18, now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Now listen to me. This is how serious and how truthful the Bible is. It's recognizing that this is a problem, that she's pregnant. It's recognizing that Joseph says, it ain't me. I didn't touch her. And he is upset enough to react to it, to say, I need to put her away and divorce her. So it's very real, it's very truthful account of what's going on in the Bible, in the gospel, and it's a reaction to this birth. This birth is a miracle, it's a supernatural thing that has occurred here. Look at verse 20, he says, but as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, and she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This is not a natural occurrence. This is something that happens supernaturally. The word Alma is used in the Hebrew back in the Old Testament in Isaiah. It meant young woman of a marriageable age. Her virginity would be assumed. In that word, her virginity would be assumed. It's used seven times in the Old Testament, and each time it's used, John MacArthur says it denotes a woman of marriageable age that is virgin. It's mentioned in Genesis 24:43, Exodus 2:8, Psalm 68:25, Proverbs 30, verse 19, Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 3, Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 8, and Isaiah 7:14. The promise of God points to the person of God. They shall call his name Emmanuel. So the promise of God is about the person of God. Let's go to the person of God. The person of Christ. The person of Christ is God's promise. And it's his promise back in Isaiah that's pointing. It's the sign that's pointing to God's person. That God jam-packed himself into a human being. I like thinking about that. I like thinking about God jamming himself into a human being. Because God's big, right? He created the universe. And here he is, he's jammed himself into the womb of a woman, which is amazing. And we think about that, and it's hard to wrap our minds around that, but he's God. And if we could figure God out, then he wouldn't be God, would he? He's beyond us. James Montgomery Boyce says, the virgin birth is important because of its unique and miraculous nature, which therefore points to the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. It's significant that the life of the Lord Jesus is bracketed by two great miracles. His entering, the way he came into the world, right? He came by a virgin birth. At the beginning of is the virgin birth. He came into being without benefit of a human father, and so was the Son of God and the Son of Man in a unique way. And at the end is his resurrection. He conquers and transcends the greatest of enemies, death. What clear way did God have a way of drawing attention to this one who is unique in human history? He's the person of Christ, talking about his humanity. In Isaiah 7:15, it says, he shall eat curds, butter and honey. He shall eat butter and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. Philippians 2:7 says that he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself. His humanity allows him to stand and taste death for everyone. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2. We'll just take a look at this. This is over to your right in your Bible. Hebrews chapter 2, starting around verse 9, his humanity allowed him to taste death for everyone. Because of his suffering, he was crowned with glory and honor. That's verse 9. Verse 10 says, his humanity allowed him to bring many sons to glory, for it was fitting, in verse 10 it says in chapter 2, for it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. His humanity allowed him to, through death, to destroy the one who has the power over death, that is the devil. Look at verse 14, it says, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same thing, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. In verse 15 it says, his humanity allowed him to deliver humanity from the fear of death. Verse 15 says, deliver all those who through the fear of death were subject to a lifelong slavery. Isn't that so true, that God gives us hope even in the face of death? Then we know a loved one goes home to be with the Lord, that we have hope yet because Jesus came. Because Jesus came, we have the hope of eternity. This is the person of Christ. He's fully God and fully man. We have the promise of God and we have the person of Christ. What is the passion and the purpose of our Savior? 1 Timothy states these words, for there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Satan is defeated, death is destroyed, and humanity is delivered. That's all wrapped up in chapter 2 of Hebrews 9 through 15. He's sinless. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Have you thought about that? For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us, with our weakness, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet he's without sin. He knows what it's like to be us. He was fully God, but he was fully human. In chapter 7 of Hebrews, it says, for it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy and innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. Jesus is our sinless Savior. Jesus is our sacrifice. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, it said, he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. Did you hear that? When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. Always give yourselves to the Lord. The Lord is good. He bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For we were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. Jesus is our salvation. There is no other name, Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, there is no salvation in salvation. There is no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That is the promise, the person, and the passion of Jesus Christ, our Savior. He is the promise of God. He is the person of Christ, the humanity in him, fully God and fully human. And his passion and his purpose was to defeat Satan, to destroy death, and deliver humanity. Why is it important for us to understand these things about prophecy in today's word, in today's world? Adrian Rogers says these words, without the virgin birth, there is no sinless Savior. Without the sinless Savior, there is no sacrifice. Without the sacrifice, there is no new birth for us. For God gives us his prophecy and his words to remind us of what we should not be forgotten. It really is true, you know, friend, that God has done something so amazing and so wonderful for us, but it goes against all rationalism. It doesn't allow us to think it out and figure it out, does it? We have to come by faith. Where reason can only wade in, faith must swim. That's Thomas Watson. Faith must swim. Where reason can only wade in, faith must swim. We have to have faith in Jesus Christ. And not just some of the Word, we have to have it in all of the Word. We can't just believe some of it. Some people say, well, I only believe the Gospels. Well, the Gospels testify to the Old Testament. They testify, it says, because they fulfilled the prophecy. All of this, he says, took place to fulfill what the prophecy said. A review of the book Hidden Christmas by Tim Keller. In the review itself, they were stating these words, that Christmas is not simply about a birth, but about a coming. Christmas shows us that Christianity is not good advice, it's good news. Christmas means that God is working out his purpose, his will, to fulfill his promises. Christmas tells us that despite the appearances to the contrary, God is in control of history and that someday he will put everything right. Jesus' birth testifies to us today. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Trust his promises. Believe in his person, Christ. Believe in Jesus Christ, our sinless Savior. Know that the passion of our Savior was his atoning sacrifice to take away the sins of the world, to take away our sins. He's our Savior. I want to give you a challenge this Christmas. I want you to think about the virgin birth. And I want you to think about your birth. In John 3:16, if you'll turn back to the Gospel of John, John 3:16 says something very important that we learn from Nicodemus. Some of us say that we believe in the virgin birth. That's great. Do you believe in the second birth, the birth of Christ in you? That the Holy Spirit, the same miraculous thing that overshadowed Mary, has to overshadow you. Nicodemus asked Jesus, how can a man be born again? Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus asked him, how can a man be born again? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said this to you. You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered him, are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven. No one has ascended into heaven except from the Son of God, ascended into heaven, except he who is descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses is lifted up on the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. My friend, Jesus is the one who descended from heaven. He is the one that we put our trust in. It's his virgin birth that we must believe. Without Jesus, there is no Savior. Without a Savior, there's no sacrifice. Without a sacrifice, there's no opportunity to get back to heaven. So I want to ask you a question. Do you believe, have you been born again? Do you really believe in Jesus Christ? That he's truly regenerated you? Have you come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? In that, you believe that he is who he said he was, God in the flesh. If so, I want to challenge you as one of his disciples this year. I want you to go out into the world as you go into the stores and you shop and you attend to the restaurants you frequent and the grocery stores that you'll be a part of when you buy your family's groceries, and you look people in the face on a regular basis, I want you to try the pop strategy. Pop strategy. It's Jesus' strategy. P-O-P. Be a person of peace. What's a person of peace? In Luke 10, verse 5, he says, whatever your house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. I want you to look for people of peace. But I first want you to ask you, are you a person of peace? Do you welcome people? Do you serve people? Are you open to their world? Is your world open to them to let them come into your world? How do we engage people when we go out there? Ask them what it is that brought you here, whether they're at Starbucks or Macy's. Ask them what brought them there. Number two, ask them what their favorite thing is about their role, their present role with where they work, their position. Number three, what do you plan on doing with everything you're learning here? I love that question. Because no matter where I've ever worked, I've always learned something to take with me. Whether it be how to cut a pizza in a really fast way with a bar cutter, or a way to deliver packages, I learned something from everybody. You know, UPS, they wash their trucks every single day to the point of if the supervisor comes in and he sees dirt on those trucks, he will make you pull that truck back out and wash it before it goes down the road. That's how serious they are about it. Let me ask you something. Are you serious about God? Do you have a strategy for going into people's home and looking for a person of peace? I want you to do something. I want you to learn to look for people of peace and identify them. How do you identify them? They welcome you. They serve you. They open their world to you. You know how we know that? Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus welcomes people into his life. He invites you to come. Jesus serves people. He took off all of his garments down to a robe and washed the feet of his disciples. And he told his disciples, go and do likewise. And he opened his world. But you got to come through him. Let's pray. Father God, as we think about Jesus' advent, his virgin birth, help us to know that it is not optional. It's a command that we must believe in Jesus Christ, all of him, not some of him. We must receive him as Lord and Savior, fully God and fully man. Lord, help us to welcome people into our life and serve you with all of our heart. As they open our world to us, Lord, let us engage them for the kingdom. Let us be a person of peace. A person of peace who trusts in the promises of God. Who believes in the person, Christ. Whose passion it is and purpose it is to save sinners. We pray now, Lord, for your help for doing these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Rise up.